Beloved radio friends, welcome to today's broadcast. I do hope you are already enjoying the presence of God this year. May He continue to sustain you and your families in Jesus' name. The topic of today's broadcast is God's purpose for marriage. We had earlier considered in our last broadcast God's plan for marriage. These messages are available in CDs at our headquarters if you desire to have them. God's purpose for marriage. We shall be reading from Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 11. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 to verse 11. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for lust, for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to him to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we really thank you for your wisdom in instituting marriage. Though there are attempts in our time to corrupt it, but your counsel must stand, and you will always do your good pleasure. Kindly help us all to accept your purpose in marriage, walk towards the realization of your eternal purposes for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Radio friends, our text gave us a glimpse of the magnificent view of marriage as God willed it for his people. However, just as it was in the days of Jesus, many are not really comfortable with God's position on marriage. The disciples equally said, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." Not marrying is not an option. The real option is to accept God's purpose and agree with him to work towards his success. It is here that I introduce to you a helper. The Holy Spirit is God's appointed helper for man here on earth to walk according to God's plan. When you decide to walk without him, you may get into trouble in future. The resultant effect may be to seek solution outside biblical concepts, and that will lead to corruption. Embrace the helper now. He is very much ready to help you get it right or repair existing cracks in your marriage, which may lead to total breakdown. It is becoming increasingly evident that not everyone can receive the biblical view of our Lord. The biblical view, or our Lord's view on marriage. Our passage also said so, that not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. The greatness and glory of marriage is beyond human ability to think or feel without divine revelation and without illuminating and awakening work of the Holy Spirit. Marriage is God's design The world cannot know what marriage is without learning it from God. There are two things that guide you in your marriage and also guide those who intend to enter into marriage. Number one is that it is God's doing. Marriage is God's doing. Therefore, everyone who comes into it must endeavor to obtain God's manual for operating it. Marriage is God's doing. And for you to make a success of it, you must obtain God's manual to operate it. Number two, one must see its ultimate aim from biblical view that it is for God's glory. The second mindset is to see its ultimate aim from biblical view that it is for God's glory. Marriage is for God's glory. If anyone aligns himself and herself to these positions, you are ready to go. My parents lived for 64 years before death parted them. I give God all the glory. My wife and myself are heading towards our 38 years. We are witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ that marriage works. There are at least three commitments required to sustain marriage. There are no perfect marriages, but to fulfill God's purpose for marriage, we must supply these commitments. Number one commitment is commitment to closeness. Marriages are crying and yearning for close relationship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, Apostle Paul, who never married but had a clear revelation of what marriage should be, pleaded with the Corinthian Christians, and I quote, "Our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love for us. Open your hearts to us," I unquote. Perhaps your marriage is in need of close relationship. Cry out to one another, "Open your heart to me." Have you cut off affection? You have switched off relationship and compassion. Intimacy is not a creation of a moment or the product of a ceremony. It is the product of a lifetime of close relationship. So said Dr. David Jeremiah. Number two commitment is commitment to keeping marriage, commitment to communication. Keeping marriage fresh requires continuous and constant communication. I want to read from you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. It tells us rules of communication in relationships. Proverbs chapter 15, let me read from verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." Let me read from verse 7. "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so." You go to verse 23. These are rules as penned down by the Bible. Verse 23. "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." 24. "Beware of life, winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away hell below." Verse 26. "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant." Right? Good communication enhances growth in relationship and brings happiness. So we must be committed to good communication. Number three. Commitment to Christ. To fulfill God's purpose, we need commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. The character development and growth required to sustain marriage God's way can only be found in Christ. Commitment to Christ ensures steady growth in forgiveness, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hello, radio friends. Commitment to Christ commences the moment you realize your need of Him. No other person can save you and your marriage except Jesus Christ. Why not ask Him into your life and receive Him as your Lord and Savior? pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I realize my need of you in a closer relationship. I open my heart and receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sins and let them be wiped away by your blood, which you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. I trust you for today, and I pray that he will occupy my heart. Let me pray for you. Dear Father in heaven, you are healing people and their marriages. You are reconciling people unto yourself. Do accept as many as are repenting genuinely and forgive them. May the Holy Spirit take control of their lives and transform them and their marriages. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. I remain your friend, Pastor Amara Uwezioze.